It is always a great privilege, a great opportunity that we have to witness God's faithfulness to the families and to the children of His covenant. But it's just especially sweet today to see God's faithfulness to Matt and Karen. It's a joy to join in committing to caring for Jackson. But I hope that this baptism is sweet for you, not just because of the situation or because of the history surrounding this baptism, but I hope that this baptism is sweet to you for other reasons, because perhaps as you think through the adoption of Jackson, I hope that you are able to remember for yourself that you also are not of natural descent from your Heavenly Father. That you, like Jackson, have been adopted. What does that mean? What does it mean that we've been adopted by God? That our Father in heaven has adopted us as His children? Should that have an impact on how we live, on how we view ourselves, on how we view others? Why did God adopt you? Billy sat on the floor playing with his trucks while his daddy worked on the old television set at the other end of the room. "Hey, Dad." "Yeah, Billy." "Tell me again about the time you adopted me." "The time we adopted you? Yeah. You like that story, don't you, Billy?" "Yeah." "Well, let me think. Well, you see, Billy, your mother and I, we were walking through the room where all the babies were, and right away we saw you. And we looked at you, and we loved you, and we just knew that you were going to be our baby boy." "Well, was I cuter than the other babies?" "Well, no, Billy, you weren't cuter than all the other babies, but I tell you what, we took one look at you and we knew you were the one we were going to take home." "Well, what was I doing? Was I just laying there?" "Yeah, Billy, you were just laying there. You couldn't really do a whole lot else." "You mean I wasn't doing something smarter like we looked for when we got the puppy?" No, Billy, you weren't doing anything smarter. We just looked at you and we knew that we loved you." "Well, after you looked at me and you knew that you loved me, then what happened?" "Well, see, Billy, your mother had bought this special blanket for our new baby boy. And so we picked you up and wrapped you in that special blanket. And oh, Billy, we were just so happy. And we held you so tight and we looked down at you and you looked back up at us with those big wide eyes. And you just smiled and cooed." "Well, then what happened?" "Well, then we brought you home to be part of our family." "Hey, Dad." "Yeah, son." "Do you still love me now?" "Well, of course I love you, Billy. I love you more every day." "I bet you really love me now because I can do my ABCs." "Well, I don't love you because of what you do. I love you because you're mine." "Well, what about my ABCs?" "Well, Billy, I think it's wonderful you can do your ABCs, but that's not why I love you. I love you because you're mine. Okay?" "Okay." Some of you might be familiar with the Ministry of Peculiar People. It is a husband and wife drama team out of Greensboro, North Carolina. And that is the opening line of their signature piece titled Billy. It's a story about an adopted child who learns to understand what it means that he is adopted by a mommy and daddy who love him, not because of what he does, but just because he's theirs. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Beginning in verse 26 of chapter 3 in Galatians. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, and yet the word of the Lord remains forever. Please be seated. The letter to the Galatians is all about the wonderfully free gift of salvation from God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and then our reaction and response to that free gift. Paul was the church planter of Galatia. Galatia was an area of Asia Minor, and Paul went and planted a church there. He had started the work. He saw many people come to faith in Jesus Christ through his work and his testimony to Christ. He saw them repent and turn from their old ways of trying to earn God's favor, trying to be righteous on their own. Now, when I mention righteousness, a lot of you perhaps start tuning me out already. I mean, either you don't really believe in all that silliness, or, you know, being a good 21st century kind of person, you just kind of think, you know, you're not the kind of guy that goes around and starts claiming that one way is righteous and another way is not righteous. But that's not really true. If we could have a moment of honesty with ourselves, I mean, another way of understanding righteousness is being accepted. Now, that's not all that righteousness has to do with, but it's a good understanding, a good stepping stone to understanding righteousness. Righteousness is about being accepted. What do I have to do to be accepted? And now when we put it in those terms, everyone, everywhere, suddenly understands this because everyone wants to be accepted. Now, many of us want to be accepted because of the things that we've done. But many of us want to be accepted in spite of the things that we've done. I mean, isn't that what the whole tolerance movement is about? Accepting each other in spite of our differences. In spite of the ways that we act or the ways we were brought up, we accept one another. And so we all know what it means to be absolutely and totally accepted. Even if we've never felt that, we know that it's a desire, and so we at least know it by negative. Because we've experienced the opposite of it. We've experienced not being accepted. And Paul here tells you that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you have been baptized into Him, And you are accepted by God. God accepts you. Not only does He accept you in some kind of surreal sense, but He accepts you so completely that He considers you His adopted child. You are seen by God as His son. One of the first questions that parents often have when they're considering adoption is, will I be able to love this child as if he were my own? And to ask that question is really to not fully apprehend the completeness of adoption. You will love that child fully and completely because that is your son, fully and completely. Look at the language here. Through faith in Christ Jesus, you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. So this isn't talking about, again, the physical baptism, but that which the physical baptism points to. The actual baptism that we have received when coming to Christ in faith, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Through faith in Christ, you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. In other words, your standing before God the Father is based entirely on Jesus' standing before God the Father. Jesus is justified by His resurrection, therefore you are justified by Jesus' resurrection. Jesus is glorified, therefore you are seen by God as glorified in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's Son, whom He perfectly loves. Therefore, you in Jesus Christ are the child of God, whom God fully and perfectly loves. It is as though, and Paul puts it this way, it's as though you have been clothed with Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, and you don't have to turn back there, but Romans 8 is another letter that Paul wrote to another church, not a church that he planted, but this time the church in Rome, whom he'd not ever had a chance to visit, but he speaks to them of adoption also. And in Romans 8, he talks about Jesus as interceding on your behalf. Jesus stands before God for you. And I used to read that, and it wasn't very comforting to me. Because basically, I would read that, and I had this picture of Jesus and God up in heaven, and Jesus standing before God saying, well, there's Leonard. He's really messing everything up again. But could you give him a break? Could you just kind of cut him some slack? Give him another chance, would you? That's not how Jesus intercedes for you. First of all, God the Father would actually be unjust to punish you for your sins if you have faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid the punishment for your sin. And so it is actually God's justice that keeps Him from punishing us for our sins, we who have been clothed in Christ, because God already punished your sin at the cross, and He would be unjust to punish your sin twice. But beyond that, it's not just that Jesus tricked God out of punishing you. It's not that the Father is up there wishing He could punish you, but Jesus is, I died for His sins, and the Father's going, oh, all right. No, the Father, it was the Father's plan all along to pour out His wrath onto His Son for your sake. The Father willingly passes His judgment onto the Son, and the Son willingly takes that judgment for you. That's how Christ intercedes. He says to God, this is your Son whom you love, and God willingly and gladly receives that intercession. Paul goes on and explains the results of this. Your status before God is that of Jesus' status. You are His Son in Romans 3. And he describes this. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Our adoption by God is so complete that He does not consider any of your past or your present when He looks at His relationship with you. Your past and your present have no bearing on your adoption by God. Now, does that mean that you are not affected by those things? I wish it did. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that you aren't affected by those things, but it means God is not affected by those things. And so, therefore, your relationship with God is not affected by those things. That is a biblical view of tolerance. It's not that there aren't those who act like Jews and Greeks, but that their relationship with God is not affected in any way by their Jewishness or their Greekness. These were two groups in the time of the New Testament that were completely racially divided from one another, the Jews and the Greeks. They both had this sort of my way is the right way. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it ought to be. If you don't do things this way, you're doing them wrong. And if you loved God, you would see that I'm right. But your status, your sonship, your adoption by God is not impacted by whether you are Jew or Greek. It's not that you won't act like a slave or a free person. There are those of us who act like slaves, like everything we do matters. And if I don't do it right and I don't get it right, then everything's going to be screwed up and it's going to be really bad. I've got to do better. I've got to try harder. There are those who act like slaves. There are also those who act like free people who say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. If God's going to love me anyway, then don't tell me what to do, because I just want to do what makes me happy, and doing that just doesn't make me happy today. So don't bog me down with those things. It's not that there aren't slaves and free people, but that whether you are slavish or you abuse your freedom has no bearing on your relationship with God. You are adopted by God. You're His child. In fact, your adoption by God is so absolutely equal to everyone else's adoption by God that there's not even male nor female. All of us are viewed equally by God as His sons. We are all sons of God because there's a relationship with us that is exactly the same as everyone else's relationship with God. And so we are all sons of God. There is no difference. Now, does that mean that we don't act male nor female? I pray not. I'm very glad for the femaleness of my wife and my three daughters. But their femaleness has no bearing on God's relationship with them. In God's eyes, in Christ Jesus, there is no male nor female. I wonder what if Paul were to write, first or second Staffordonians, what would be the categories today? Paul writing to us here at Hope of Christ, what categories would he need to remind us of? There is neither A nor not A in Christ Jesus, but all of you are adopted by God. There's neither Presbyterian nor Baptist in God's eyes. Does that mean that we should not act Presbyterian or Baptist? No. But it means that our Presbyterianism or our not being Presbyterian does not in any way change, improve, deprove our standing before God. That's not what makes us acceptable to God. Jesus Christ is what makes us acceptable, is who makes us acceptable. I'm not clothed in Presbyterianism. I'm clothed in Jesus Christ. Should we not act Presbyterian or Baptist? No, no more than we shouldn't act male or female. But that's not your hope for adoption. There is neither old music lover nor new music lover. There is neither homeschooler nor public schooler nor private schooler nor dropout of schooler. But this means there's neither Calvinist nor Arminian. What are the things that I look to that say, this defines me, you don't understand? If it's not Christ, what am I saying? He points to Jew and Greek and says there's no difference. The things that we use to define ourselves besides Christ, that we say, but look at how good I am at this. Of course God loves me because I'm Presbyterian. Of course God loves me because I'm Calvinist. Of course God loves me because I'm not Calvinist. Billy was sitting at the dining room table with his 64 Crayola crayons putting the finishing touches on another masterpiece. Hey, Dad! Yeah, son? Look what I made you. Billy, is this a picture of our house? Yup. Well, that is wonderful. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this picture and hang it up in my office at work. Hey, Dad. Yeah, son? I bet you really love me now because I made such a good picture. Billy, I love you because I made such a good picture. Billy, I love you. You know, people are constantly claiming that they don't like religion because they think that people should be free. And I guess I have to agree with that statement as I read Scripture. In fact, it's the very point Paul is trying to make. Jesus Christ didn't come and bring freedom with air quotes. He didn't say, now you're free, here are the rules. Jesus says, now you're free. You're free. Yeah, but what does my freedom cost? No, you don't understand. You're free. Yeah, but what do I have to do? Jesus was born under slavery, slavery to the law, in order to redeem us, to buy us back, so that we might receive full rights of adoption. So a question you should be asking yourself is, do I live like I'm free? Or do I live like a slave? Do I believe that I'm God's slave? Or do I believe that I'm God's adopted child? You see, both slaves and children are subject to house rules. But a slave must follow the rules in order to keep his position in the household. A child follows the rules because of his position in the house. Both need to live according to the rules, but a child will never lose their status in the house by breaking the rules. A slave must be punished and taught a lesson. A child is disciplined because you love him. Billy's daddy came into the room. Billy was hunched over on his bed and he wouldn't even look at him. Billy, you know why I had to spank you, son? Yes, sir. Why is that? Because I went across the street without you. Right. Billy, Barker Street is far too busy for you to cross by yourself. son, you could have gotten hurt. But I didn't get hurt, but you could have gotten hurt. But I didn't get hurt. If you loved me, you wouldn't have spanked me. Oh, Billy. Billy, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't care what happened to you. You could play in the street. You could run across the street. You could get hit by a car. I wouldn't care. But Billy, I do care. Billy. Billy. Yes, sir. I love you. Okay? Okay. Now, another difference between slaves and adopted children is that a slave is bought, whereas a child is redeemed. Both are paid for. To be redeemed simply means to be bought back. Both of these are it's not a monetary difference, but it's a relational difference. If you have been clothed in Christ through faith in Him, then you have been bought by God. God paid a price for you. In another letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he says, "You are not your own, but you have been bought at a price." Now, anyone who has adopted a child will tell you that there is significant cost involved. There is a price you pay for your child, but it is not a slavery transaction. Jackson is not now owned by Matt and Karen. He has been redeemed. Now, you might be saying, what do you mean redeemed? Because you just said it means being bought back. How is it that Matt and Karen, adopting Jackson for the first time, have bought him back? Well, in a real sense, you're right. Jackson became Matt and Karen's son the day they picked him up. But in another real sense, just as real, Jackson was born to be their son. Jackson has been redeemed. Jackson has been brought into the family God created him for. You have been redeemed. You who have faith in Jesus Christ have been brought into the family God created you for. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so if nothing can now change Jackson Benke's status, and his adoption was paid for, let's admit, even if it was a lot, it was perishable gold. His adoption was paid for with something perishable, and nothing can change his status in that family. He will always be Matt and Karen's son. Then how much more could nothing affect your status if you were bought with the imperishable blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son? You were bought, you were sealed, you were adopted, paid for, redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can change your status. Do you believe that? Are you living like a redeemed adopted child, or are you living like a purchased slave? You see, a slave feels alone. A slave, even living under his master's roof, lacks daily intimacy with his father. A slave must be controlled by self-concern. A slave will feel anxious over all of his felt needs. A slave will say, "I feel alone. I'm not a happy camper. Nobody cares." A slave lives her life on a success-fail basis. and therefore needs to look good all the time to everyone. Because life is a constant performance. A slave needs to fix everything because the master can't really be bothered. And so a slave burns out quickly because of the unlimited obligation to please the master. A slave must be right all the time, because if I'm wrong, my status is in jeopardy. And so a slave can't fail and cannot tolerate criticism. Living like a slave means you're either completely confident in self alone or completely lacking in confidence altogether. But a son or a daughter knows that the master is actually her father. A daughter trusts her father and has confidence in his care. A son is conscious of self, but his confidence is in Christ. A son knows that he is loved and forgiven and accepted, not because of his merit, but because of his status in Christ. A daughter can handle criticism, even unfounded criticism, because she knows that she stands in Christ's perfection, not in her own. A son is able to take risks and even fail, since he has nothing to boast in except Christ alone. Dad, come look! Yes, son. Billy, did you clean your room? Yeah, and it took me 100 hours to do it, too. I'll bet it did. So, Dad, what do you think? Well, I think it's wonderful. Thank you for being such a good boy, Billy. Hey, Dad. Yeah, son. Do you love me now that I cleaned my room? Billy, what do I have to say to make you understand? I don't love you because of what you do. I love you because you're mine. Billy, yes? Billy, I love you. Can you remember that? Yes, sir. Are you sure you can remember that? Yes, sir. Now, because you are adopted, because you are God's sons, God has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. See, everything about your standing with God has been taken care of by God. The Father adopted you and paid for your adoption with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. But the Son, Jesus Christ, willingly paid that price for your adoption. He took on your sin. He became sin for you so that you in Him might become God's righteousness. So that you could be accepted by God, Jesus was rejected by God. And then to finalize the transaction, the Spirit of God lives in you and calls out for you, Abba, Father. In Romans 8, Paul speaks of this as well. Only in Romans 8, it's different. He doesn't say that the Spirit calls out on your behalf, but he says the Spirit in you gives you the ability to call out on your own, with your own voice, Abba, Father, Daddy. See, Romans 8 speaks of the world groaning in anticipation of being delivered from the effects of the sin. The world itself groans under the weight of the fallenness that sin has brought into the world. And Paul says that not only does the world groan, but we ourselves groan under this weight. The world is broken and fallen, and it makes us groan, and it ought to make you groan. The world is full of loneliness and bitterness and pain and sorrow and things that should not have happened. And it ought to make us groan. There are 5.5 million orphans in Africa. That should make us groan. 200,000 plus people die in an earthquake in Haiti. Should make us groan. There are children in South America who will be born and live their entire lives and die and never own one pair of shoes. That should make us groan. The world is broken, but you don't have to go across the sea to find brokenness and pain. You don't even have to go across the street, although I urge you to, but you wouldn't even need to leave this sanctuary to find brokenness and pain and hurting and sorrow from this world. The world is broken and we groan over it. Do you groan for your brothers and sisters? Or do you think they brought it on themselves? But that's still not our only hope, is it? The world groans because it's hard, a hard place to live, and we groan because it's a hard place to live. Well, let's stand and sing the doxology. Where is the hope in that? But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul says, the Spirit who gives us the voice to cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit also groans. The Spirit of God intercedes with you with groanings that you don't even understand. Why? Because you're God's child. Since you are God's son, that makes you an heir. You, if you trust in Jesus Christ, in His death and His resurrection, if you trust in Christ alone for your standing before God, then you are an heir of God. You are a co-heir with Christ, Paul says in another place. And so when this groaning earth passes away and Christ receives His kingdom in full, you will reign with Him because you are God's rightful heir. You've been adopted. As one pastor and author puts it then, he says, cheer up! You're worse than you ever thought possible. But in Christ, you are more loved than you could have ever imagined. Billy was rolling on the floor in his bedroom, laughing hysterically. Billy, what are you laughing at? I can hear you laughing all the way from the kitchen. Something funny happened on the way home from school today. I guess so. Tell me about it, Billy. What happened that was so funny? Well, on the bus, some of the big kids started pushing me and calling me Squirt and other bad names. Well, Billy, that's not funny, is it? No, but I started laughing because I was thinking. Well, son, what were you thinking? I was thinking, my daddy chose me above all the other babies. And you wrapped me in my own very special blanket. And you brought me home to be part of your family. And you love me even if I can't do smart stuff. And even if I have to go to the doctor or get spanked. And even when the big boys call me Squirt. Oh, Billy, I do love you. I know that now, Dad. Let's pray. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. You can sing with me. Behold what manner of
the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God.
And that is what we are. We are your children, adopted, redeemed, bought with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. God, we pray for all of us who have known this truth and yet have been living like slaves and orphans. Remind us of your great love for us, that we might live as your free children. And for any of us who do not know this truth, would you pour out your Spirit that they might know your free forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.